who I was. And I know how many people get around to what happened as a result. I'm blessed to have been taken through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous by another man. I've taken a minute through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a home group and sobriety. And I'm really glad to be here tonight. And you know, a lot of people say that, but it's really especially true for me tonight. Health issues. I'm kind of flaring up and kicking my ass right now. And it's so easy to sit at home and feel it. And not feel like doing anything. And it's no coincidence that a month ago, honestly, I had to take a commitment so that I couldn't sit at home and feel sorry for myself tonight. So, forgive me if I wander off once in a while. So I do know that I'm supposed to share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Which is also another way of saying my experience, strength, and hope. So what it was like, I grew up in what I thought at the time was a pretty near normal family, and I still do. When all the other parents came back for church, they picked us up and took us home. And I kind of knew part of that was my dad was a preacher's kid, and as he used to say a lot, I had enough of that when I was a kid. But I had a good life when I was a kid. I did the Sunday school thing, and I connected with what I was hearing there. And as I got older and had the choice what I wanted to do, it was my choice. I wanted to do more of this church stuff. And I got really involved in the youth group. And I had what I believe was, the big book says there's all kinds of different spiritual awakenings, and you know, the things I believe in today support that. I think I had my first taste of that when I was in middle school. I was on just a weekend little church retreat, just our church. And I don't even remember what we were talking about, what we were doing, but I felt the connection so strongly and so powerfully. I felt such unbelievable joy that I started crying. And that's not a common thing for 13-year-old boys to do, at least not when I was growing up, and especially when you've got a self-esteem issue like I had, for really, seemed to me two reasons. One is, until about middle school, every class that I was in, every grade, I was the smallest kid in the whole school. Man, I hated that. I was always trying to prove that I was as tough as the big guys. And the other thing is that today I know that my father loved me. And he was doing the best he could. But what he thought was the best thing to do was to point out everything I did wrong. So I guess so that I would get better. So I just had nothing for self-esteem, but there I was crying, and a couple of the male chaperones took me aside. Are you okay? I'm great. You know, I couldn't put it to words. I don't know how to describe what I'm feeling. It's fantastic. But I had lots of other feelings, too. I had a feeling of not fitting in and not belonging. And so my solution to that was to pretend that I fit in and to pretend that I belong. So I was, you know, what I think a lot of us commonly refer to as a chameleon today. Whoever I was hanging out with, I would try to figure out how you wanted me to act and then act like that and be like that. And I don't know if it worked or not, but I still felt alone inside. And I was the wise guy in the crack up. I was always making jokes. And I'd be the life of the party. You know, as I got older, middle school, high school, I was always the guy telling jokes, making everybody laugh. And while I was being the life of the party, I felt like I was the outcast. I felt like I was the guy sitting in the corner that nobody was talking to. And I don't know what the hell's the matter with this wiring, but that's the way I felt. I said, I did the church thing, I got into Boy Scouts, I did all that good kid stuff. And I was into it, and I believed in it, and I was committed to it. And I was really disappointed my big brother, who was 3 years older than me, who I looked up to, when I found out that he was drinking beer and smoking pot. I was so disappointed, that just like brought me down. And then one weekend in ninth grade, one of my best church buddies came up to me and said, hey, my big brother got this one. He had a bottle of beer. You know, the kid that I was would have said, like, no, no way. Are you kidding me? We don't have that problem with you. And he cracked it open and handed it to me, and I have no idea why. I just took a hit. like test their chair in the fridge for like weeks. And mine was gone the first night. So I started sneaking out at night after everybody was in bed and sneaking from the other guys. And then leaving the door to the suite unlocked. So it looked like somebody forgot to lock up. Somebody snuck in and stole our beers. You know? And, you know, things just escalated in college, although I kept doing okay in college. I decided college wasn't for me after a couple of years and quit. And then I decided college, not being in college, wasn't for me and went back. I didn't know why. But when I went back, I saw a business opportunity. And I became a business major. And this church kid, this Boy Scout, figured out how to put everybody on campus out of business within 3 weeks back to school. I was running campus. And I wasn't even worried about it. I had it all figured out. That when they came and raided me, just like I'd watched happen to some of the other guys who then quietly disappeared from campus, that I was going to say, oh no, you're not throwing me on campus. Because I'm not going quietly. I'm going right down to the newspapers to say, there's a problem on campus. Now, I'll stop, go away, stop doing what I'm doing. But, you know, I thought I was all that. You know? 19 years old, I thought I'd take on this college. You know, the fact of the matter is I just got lucky. I just got lucky that nothing, I never, again, I had no consequences. That black hole inside me was getting bigger. And what I know today, looking back on it, was the problem is I had discovered what fills that up, what blows it away with overwhelming joy when I was a kid. That's temporary. One I believe in today is a term. then when I came back, the year I was off, something happened that kind of opened me up, and I'm asking girls out, and I'm dating girls, and then I would start going out with girls, and every one of them, I realized in hindsight, because I didn't see it, I didn't see anything at the time, but in hindsight, it's so clear, every relationship I had lasted 3 months. 3 months, because that's just how long it takes to start to know each other. You know, we've all done the dance. We put on your, hey, let's be on our best behavior and try to get you to like me, phases of behaviors. And then that seems to be working, so you start getting comfortable with each other. Oh my God, you're getting to know me. I'm out of here. And, I'm going to run away now. Thanks for getting close to me. I'm out. I did with guys, too. I couldn't let anybody get connected to me. I'm just scared to death of y'all. But then something happened. You know, I met this girl senior year, and we end of junior year, and we went out over summer senior year. And just something right from the beginning, man, she just, the walls just came down. And Christmas break, senior year, I asked her to marry me. And she said yes. Which is just amazing. Because that wonderful woman, daughter of an alcoholic who died of this disease while she was in high school. She watched her father wither away and die a slow and horrible death at the hands of the bottle. So who did she decide to say yes to? You know? And she knew exactly who I was. She saw the way I acted on campus. She saw what was always going on in my room. So then became the era of the just exponential increase in the lying and hiding stage. Because she was watching. She had done it before. So I had to up my game. She's going to find out. And now we have two beautiful kids. And what if I screw up being a dad? I have no idea what I'm doing. I was never around little kids. I have no idea how to do this. What if I blow this? I am terrified. And I'm not telling anybody. There's no way I'm going to let anybody know what a scared little boy I am. And it got to a place of where that darkness was consuming me. And I was drinking more to try to get rid of it. And the binge drinking is way in the past now. It's a daily event. And it's starting earlier in the day, and it's more and more. And again, you know, the details don't matter. Plug in your details here. But I was just so in the darkness. I'm still doing a pretty good job of the lying and hiding. But I think she was also doing a pretty good job of living in denial. But was destroying our relationship. We got first got married, I was really happy for a while. So was she. But over the course of time, I started to destroy that. We got really miserable. One day she said to me, "You know, I have a family member that went to this place that's going through some bad stuff." She was specific, but I'm being vague just for their anonymity. It wasn't booze or substances. They went away to this place, and when they came back, they seemed to be doing a lot better. You seem to be in a really bad place. Maybe you should try going there. And this woman, who all I did was fight with and argue with and disagree with every word that came out of her mouth for the last year and a half, I was so broken and so beat, I just went, okay. And the next day, she said, "All right, they've got a bed for you." I don't even know what that meant at the time. "They've got a bed for you." It was out of town. "I've got a plane ticket for you." "Oh, now hold it, wait a minute, what?" You're going. And again, I'm so broke, there's no flight left. Okay. I went to the airport, got dropped off at the airport. One last drink in the airport bar. Didn't know that was the plan. Got on a plane. Showed up at this place. Shuttle took me to the place. And I was there for a week. Doing activities, hanging out with people, group sessions in the morning, and other activities in the afternoon. And, you know, I hear a lot of people talk about, like, knowing you have a problem and not knowing what, and you know, not being able to stop, not knowing what to do about it. My group leader took me aside after being there a week and listening to drunks and addicts talking about their problem. You know, wow, I can really relate to that. I'm saying, whenever I had something to share, I'm Roy, and I think I'm here for depression. This is the part where you laugh. He said, "Roy, why don't you say, 'I'm Roy and I'm alcoholic,' the next time you raise your hand." But I did. I was still so broke. I went from being in charge, running the show, fighting with anybody that didn't agree, to just, okay, I'm Roy and I'm an alcoholic. And it was the best I'd felt in about 2 years. It was the first time I could breathe, and I started feeling better. And they introduced me to something called the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And they started showing me what they were and how they worked. Alcoholics Anonymous. And I remember my wife saying when I said goodbye to her, "You know what? I don't know what's the matter with you. I don't know if these people can help you, but I know that you're a nature lover." And when my family member came back from there, they said it was beautiful there. Maybe that will help you. And I was sitting in this class about spirituality, about finding a God of your understanding, about helping you be ready to take your third step. And I looked out the window and I saw all the beauty, and I was actually able to enjoy it. I took it in instead of being so miserable that I couldn't even enjoy it. And I went, okay, you know what, I'm picking that. They said I could take anything. It's my higher power. Nature, that's going to be my higher power. You know what happened to me? I believe that day I became willing. I got a desire. next to a big whole gathering, everybody there, session that afternoon, and it was one of those gatherings where everybody that spoke, it sounded like they were talking exact, just to me, saying exactly what I needed to hear. And if anybody hasn't had a meeting like that, check your willingness. Check your desire to have joy, to have a higher power, to have the peace that you deserve. Maybe you will. But then I went, okay, you know what? You guys, all you guys, you're my higher power now. People are the higher power. And throughout the course of the day, just being open for the first time in my life, instead of me trying to run the show, me trying to make the decisions, and making myself and everybody around me more and more miserable, I just got willing to let this higher power, whatever it was, take over. And when I got out of that place, which I since learned they call rehab, I had no clue that what a mess I was. 28 days, I had no clue I was in a rehab. So I started coming and hanging around with you guys and hearing you talk about rehab. Son of a bitch! She sent me to a rehab! It's a good thing I didn't know, because I probably would have put up a fight. But they suggested that I go find where there were AA meetings in my area and start going to them immediately when I got home. And one of the first meetings that I went to, and I'm still struggling with, okay, so I've got a higher power, but I don't get it. I'm trying to figure it out. And today, that's a huge red flag. Stop it, Roy! Don't figure anything out. That is your ego. When I'm trying to figure stuff out, that is my ego, which has made a mess of my life. My higher power can do anything. Because that third step did say made a decision to turn my drinking over to my higher power. It didn't say my drinking and my big problems. It said my will and my life. But my problem was I was trying to understand, okay, look, I get that. Now, if I could just understand what this higher power is, so I could really, you know, connect with him. And there was this guy at the Hilltown meeting that said, maybe you need a God as you don't understand him. I need to quit trying to understand. Because I used to think that I was a really smart guy. But God is way beyond my comprehension. I have a lovely spiritual teacher. That just whenever we get in a conversation as a group where somebody asks one of those big questions, she's good. You know, she's the leader, she's the teacher. She's good. I don't know, that's about my favorite. I love that. So what happened after that? Well, they told me, find somebody who has what you want. Kept hearing that in the room. Another thing I didn't understand. But then I saw a guy in that Hilltown meeting that was smiling. And I thought, I have felt miserable for so long. I remember being happy. I remember when we were first married and my wife and I had so much fun together. I remember when I played with my kids and it was amazing. Just been miserable. I want that back. So I went up to him. And I asked him, "Be my sponsor?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Through the steps." I said, "I did the first three in rehab." He said, what are you doing right now?" "I'm out of work. Got nothing to do." He said, "Great, let's get to work." We went outside on a day like today. We sat at a park bench outside the church that meeting was at. And we started doing it. And my life started getting better. And it got a whole lot better. And then he told me I had to give away what I had gotten if I wanted to keep it. So I started doing what I've learned to do today, which is not figure out who needs my help, but ask God to show me. And he started sending me guys. Just as many as I could handle, one at a time. And another one. You know, my sponsor told me, "Roy, quit tripping over chairs to go get guys. Go up, shake their hand, ask them how they're doing. And then ask God what he would like you to do." So I started doing that. And I got that feeling back. I felt it again. The black hole, the tar pit that I had been living in was melting away. And the joy was coming back in my life. I was freaking happy again. Got the spiritual awakening bit by bit, piece by piece, until I realized, damn, I got it back. Thank you so much. This is a spiritual program. I'm going to work that, the spiritual stuff. And I decided to dedicate my life to that. And since I had gotten that, thank you all for your help. I guess I probably won't be needing you anymore. There's somebody who tried it. I'm going to focus on that. And I focused on my spiritual path. And I spent some time with lots of loving, kind guidance, discerning what I should do with it. And I ended up quitting my job and enrolling in seminary. And I didn't know what was happening, but in hindsight, it was slipping away. And then I quit coming to meetings, quit talking to people in the program. And I went on a business trip to a little town in the middle of nowhere in Georgia to visit a prospective client that really wasn't a prospective client. I didn't even know what I was doing. But it was so obvious in hindsight, I got so far away from where I might run into any of you or any of my wife's friends or family, and went out to the middle of nowhere to have a drink. And when I was falling out the front of that bar, it didn't take till after I was back in here. Thank you all for welcoming me back. Program, your disease is out of the parking lot doing push-ups. Roy again. Hey, welcome back, Mike. Saving your seat. Events are awesome. So I had this realization, probably because some old timer put me up against the wall and explained it to me, that there's 12 freaking steps. And I don't care if you work the first 11 and maybe the 12th one a couple times. I'm an alcoholic. And if I don't keep working that 12 step, I am screwed. That's one thing I do understand today. I could be sitting home tonight, feeling sorry for myself because poor me, I feel lousy again. And if I did that long enough, I know exactly where I'd be. But instead, I get to be hanging out with all of you cool people and feeling the love. And, you know, I'm feeling like what I've learned about that 12th step is the first couple times I did it, the first couple times I sat down with another guy, and guess who came back in the room? That scared little boy. You're going to do this wrong, you're going to kill somebody. But you know what? It's not about me. Says the big book, I'm just a messenger. I got a message to deliver. What the other person does with it, it's not about me. And my sponsor told me, you know what, guess what? If you're sitting there talking to the guy and you get stuck, and you don't know what to say next? Do you have a phone? Is my number in your phone? You got a bunch of other guys' numbers in the phone? Oh, here's a good one. Do you have a higher power? Remember what I said before about that third step? I don't just have to use them for my drinking and my big problems, I can use them for that too. I run out of words to say when I'm sitting there with another guy. God, there's a little help here. And then magically, stuff comes out of my mouth that I would have never thought of saying. And I know today, it's not magic. And then says thank you. And the other guy doesn't get it until he's on the other side of the table that it's me that is thankful. Because I know what happens to me if I don't get the chance to do that. I'm an alcoholic. If I don't do all 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I bring a drink. Don't ever want to feel that again. I remember when I came back and I got a new sponsor, he took me, suggested we go back through the steps, and we did that. And I was having just a horrible day at work. And he had been suggesting to me that I go to meetings and try to get something out of meetings. Put your hand out to another man and see how he's doing. And look him right in the eye
sees him. And if he looks sad, or if he says, not so good, tell him he's never got to feel like that again. And then ask God to guide you if this is a man that you can help. Can I do that now? And my life is different. It's different. So when I start getting into that dark place, I do what he showed me. I was having a horrible day. The world's blowing up in my face. Anybody have one of those days? And I was at work. And I come out from work. I go into the parking garage. Nobody can hear me. They can even call my sponsor because God forbid anybody knows that I'm an AA. Because then if they're a drunk, they might ask me for help. But I went out in the parking garage and I called them and, oh my God, I was having such a horrible day. You got to help me, man. He said, have you been following my suggestion? When you go to meetings, have you been getting the phone number of newcomers? I said, yeah. He said, good. Why don't you call one of them? And he hung up on me. You son of a bitch! You're my sponsor! I'm in trouble! This is what sponsors are for, right? You're supposed to talk me down. Get me in off the ledge. He wouldn't answer. I called him back. He wouldn't answer. I know he's there. He was just talking to me. Somewhere between 2 and 10. I called a few guys. And one of them answered his phone. He said, hi, it's Roy from AA. Remember I met you the other night? He said, oh man, I'm so glad you called. I've had a horrible day. And then he told me what was going on. I couldn't even tell you that guy's name today. But you know what? I got out of me, and I let God run the show, and I got into service right there on the spot, and everything was fine. And I went back into work, not full of fear, because I know God's got it. It's God. You know what? I have no clue what's going to happen next. I know you do. So, I'm going to let you handle the rest of the day. Everything worked out. I was having such a terrible day. Leave it to God. Leave it to God. And my experience has been that sometimes it helps me feel better to say a prayer. A lot of people love the serenity prayer. You know, there's so many great prayers that are given to us, that are offered to us by this program. If you have a religion or a spiritual course that you're on, use them if they work for you. I got two today when I'm in trouble, when I think I'm in trouble. That's the truth. When I think I'm in trouble, I get two prayers. One is, a little help here, please. And I take a deep breath. The other prayer is,
explain to him what's going on in the world. That bothers me. He knows. I believe today that the only problem in my world is me and my thinking. And that God has the power to solve that pile of steam and hot junk. Am I getting better, Paul? Spoke Friday night at a meeting that apparently prefers that you not swear. And I dropped back-to-back F-bombs. But the God of my misunderstanding, can't understand him today, knows everything. So all I got to do is what my first sponsor told me over and over and over again. Whenever I came to any problem, for the whole first year, all he'd say is, Roy, you just get out of God's way. What is this idiot talking about? What does that mean, anyhow? He knows. He's got it. All I got to do is just pause for a moment and let him. And you know what I get? Not an answer in skywriting. I mean, sometimes it seems like that. Sometimes in the next moment, somebody walks up to me and says something. Holy crap! That's exactly what I needed to hear. Thank you! But more often, I just feel at peace. Because I remember the one truth that I know. He's got it, and I don't have a clue. I spent years trying to prove to everybody how smart I was, how good I was at running the show, why you should listen to me. And you know what that caused? Pain and misery in here. And the darkness taking over, and the tar pit just sucking me down. I can say I don't have a clue. I love to say this now. I'm a happy idiot. I'm a happy idiot. And if you ever see me and I'm not smiling, feel free to remind me, boy, you don't have a clue. Because I must be trying to use this wasted thing in between my ears. He's got it. I don't. So I wake up in the morning and I say, God, you know that I don't have a clue. So I'd appreciate it if you'd handle it from here. And when I remember to do that, I have a pretty good life. I love you guys. Thanks for letting me share.